Father, may that be our cry this morning, that we would really mean what we just sung, that we will sing, and we will share, and we will talk, and we will live in such a way until the whole world hears. And Father, we think about that as we'll talk about the fields are wide of the harvest. Lord, we estimate some 3 to 4 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. That's B with a billion. Billions today are lost and need to hear. And Father, part of those billions are even those who live right here in Petal, who live in the state of Mississippi, who live in North America, and of course to the ends of the earth. Lord, I pray you would speak into our lives this morning. Lord, sometimes we talk about this subject, it's almost like talking about finances, and sometimes we can kind of tune it out. Or Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. Lord, you've been stirring mine the last several weeks. Lord, you've convicted me deeply. And I've got to have more intentional gospel conversations with people. Father, we get at ease inside. We get relaxed. We get busy. And Lord, just to be honest, we forget. So God, I pray you would stir my heart first. Lord, I thank you for the hope of our salvation. But the fact that death has no victory and has no sting. Because you came and died and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you are alive today. And I pray that that Holy Spirit which you sent in Acts chapter 2 would be so real and, Father, present in our midst in the lives of these believers that are here. That those that are not believers yet would be before they leave this place. They would meet you face to face. And realize the great love and the great desire of a father to draw people to himself of every tribe, and tongue, and nation. God, speak to us. Would you hide behind the cross? And would you speak, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, so much for leading us. Our sound and technical folks every week, y'all lead us, and thank you for that. We don't say thank you to you except when a microphone screams or a video goes wrong, so thank you, Jake and Michael, every single week, you guys. I just appreciate you guys. Don't say it enough. We thank you for your behind-the-scenes work every single week. If you have a copy of God's Word, you turn to Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be nominating our deacons next Sunday morning. You take those names home and pray over them. We think the list is up to date and for where it needs to be, so you can nominate 8 names. Next Sunday, we'll turn those in and do that at the very end of our service next week, so be aware of that. Also, Operation Christmas Child kicks off today. I know that's hard to believe, but it's here. There's an insert there in your bulletin. There's a table back here. We don't have the boxes as of yet. They are back-ordered. They wanted you to buy these plastic bins that cost a whole lot more money than the boxes, the cardboard boxes, and so they were back-ordered. So we'll have those by next Sunday, and so if you'll take time to grab one of those, that'll be great. We also still need lots of help for our dental clinic. We need lots of help. Folks will be willing to volunteer a couple of hours on one of those days from Tuesday to Saturday. We'd be grateful if you'll contact Melanie Blanton about that. That would be fabulous. Mark chapter 9. We're in a series again. If you're just here today for the first time, we're in a series on our what we call our vision frame, the framework of our church, the DNA of our church, what makes up our church. Why we are who we are. This is kind of brand new in some ways. We kind of launched this like a year or two ago. But we've kind of come back and retweaked it and really are launching it in its full capacity. We'll finish up the entire vision frame. I will have preached through that. We talk about it more than ever before. And we'll only continue to do more so as the days go forward as we see where God is leading us. We talked about those 4 parts of that frame, right? Our mission, would you say it with me together? Engaging people. Okay, this is like October the 15th. I know what that means. You are dead and tired. So let me jumpstart you, poke your neighbor, yell at your child, whatever you got to do. Wake them up, all right? So here it is. Let's say it together. Our mission, right? Engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transform. That's what we want to see. That is what our goal is, our calling is, our passion is to see that become a reality in the life of our church family. That is our compass. That's the what, right? We talk about the map, it's the why, it's our flashlight, right? not the why, it's the what, or rather the how. Sorry, I get these confused. The map is the flashlight, it's the how, right? The connect, grow, commit, go. That transformational journey we want to see every person be a part of in our church. You're connecting to the body. You're growing in your relationship with Christ. You're committing your time and resources to serve Christ and others. The evangelistic part of that, going to share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. We then talk about our motives. It's the why. It's the fire. Why we do what we do. Those overstatements. Relationship over isolation. Life transformation over more information. Biblical truth over my opinion. Going over staying. Investing over consuming. Strong families over busy calendars. And this last 4 weeks we spent together so far, how do we know that we've gotten there? It's the target. It's the win. How do we know when we are being successful? Not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, in fulfilling that mission that God has called us to. So with these six words, an A through F, to hopefully help you remember them as you think about, am I becoming this transformed follower of Jesus Christ? Am I living authentically, genuine, real? Am I being a person of integrity? The same person I'm at church is the same person I am on Thursday night or Tuesday morning or Saturday night, whatever the case may be. I'm a person who is authentic. I'm real. I'm not hiding things. When you see me here, you see me over here. I'm the same person. That's incredibly important. Being authentic, being biblical. It's the center of all that we do. It's the center of these six marks or measures that we look at. It's the centerpiece. It's the biblical piece. Because if I'm living biblically, guess what? All these others will eventually take care of themselves. But am I living biblically? Am I living according to the Word of God? Is it my standard? Is it the roadmap? Do I have a biblical worldview in all that I do? Am I living connectedly? Am I connected to the body of Christ? Not just at the surface, but on a deepening, growing level. Am I connected to a life group? Am I connecting to other people in this body? Or maybe it's people outside of it. They're other believers, but you're connecting with people, both saved people and lost people. I'm connected deeply, sharing my life with other people. And then last Sunday night, which, by the way, we might just out of the blue next year do like this like once or twice just for fun, because all of our nighttime people loved last Sunday night, right? All of our people who hate that the morning ever comes, right? I call these people Dracula, okay? They love to sleep until 9 or 10, and yes, my student minister is one of those, and they don't really wake up until about 11:30. And then they're up till about 12 or 1, and you do great things at 12 or 1 o'clock while the rest of us are sleeping. So we'll pray for you at 5, pray for us at 12. We sleep good, and we'll pray for you at 5 that you sleep good, right? But just for fun, we did that last Sunday night, living desperately. Are we living desperate with this sense of desperation and dependence on God, that if God doesn't do something in our lives, it won't happen? That I cannot live another day, I can't take another step. If God's not going to be with me, I'm staying right here. Living desperately. And then this morning, I want to talk about living evangelistically. Now, this word evangelism, we use this word, it sounds like a very churchy word. The word evangelism comes from the word good news. And it's the Greek word evangelo. It means to be, it's good news. To share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord's been working in my heart. Chris was with me a few weeks ago, and we were at a conference, and a day conference, and then we went something even a week after that, and God just has been raining down about the importance and reminders for us as staff and as leaders of our church that we are to also be daily about sharing the gospel of Christ. A little harder sometimes, honestly, for preachers because we work at church a lot, all right? And we go and see church people a lot. And so it takes a little bit of extra effort on our part to go and engage our community and to think about that when we're out at a restaurant or in Walmart or we're out in our community at a baseball field or a soccer game. That's funny. Soccer games, yeah, that's funny, Jeremy and Chris, isn't it? But anyway, and so wherever we might be, right, we have the chance to share the gospel. Now, Lord really just convicted my heart. Dr. Johnny Hunt, pastor, First Baptist Woodstock, former Southern Baptist Convention president, he said this statement that really has rattled me for the last couple of weeks. He said he tells his people all the time to invite people. Invite people to come to church. He said the last Sunday he had 23 people that were his guests seated on the first two rows that were his guests. And so I'm like, all right, preacher, how many you got coming Sunday? Ow, that hurt. I do invite people, but sometimes not intentional enough. I don't open my eyes to the opportunities God has given me. So you can maybe just take a break. I'm just going to preach this to myself, and if you'd like to listen in to God convicting me, then that's fine, no problem. That we understand that all of us from time to time struggle to share the gospel. We struggle sometimes to invite people because sometimes we're just not engaged in that thought process. Because we're so busy, our lives are full, we have so many things going on in our lives that sometimes we don't take the time to stop and think about it. I'm going to share a passage of scripture with you in a moment. This is from Matthew 9 about this idea of what Jesus did. To go further and deeper in our lives about intentionality. Now, let me encourage you. This message is not to bring guilt. This is not for you to go, oh my gosh, I've never led somebody to Christ. I'm a terrible Christian. It's not condemnation. It's not to make you feel bad. It's not to make you duck your head and say, boy, I hope this message goes by in a hurry, but I know my preacher, so that's not going to happen. But I wish that it would go fast, right? Here's my prayer for this message. For you and I to honestly evaluate where we are, to allow the Holy Spirit to be honestly speaking into our lives, to bring a word of encouragement that you can be a person who shares the gospel, that you can be a person who God can use to transform the lives of others. Maybe to make you feel uncomfortable, maybe to bring a little conviction. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the end, bring us to the place where we want to be transformed. Because if we're being transformed by the gospel, guess what one of those effects is? That we want to share the gospel of Christ with others. It ought to become a natural part of who we are, part of our DNA. We want people to know about the gospel. So as each we do with these, we give you scriptures. How am I living evangelistically? Statements to guide and help you think through this thought process. Let me just read these. Seeing those far away from the Lord and have a deepening burden and great compassion for them. Building relationships intentionally with those who are far away from God. Seeking to regularly engage those who are lost, those far away from God, with the hope of the gospel. Regularly inviting people to come to church with you in your sphere of influence. And by the way, your sphere of influence is not just your job, that's part of it, and not just your neighbor, that's part of it, but everywhere you go is part of your sphere of influence. Equipped and prepared to share the gospel with people in your everyday conversations, praying for the Lord to send workers into the fields, and being willing to be that worker who is sent. And lastly, one who is a disciple, who is then making disciples. For evangelism is a part of discipleship, and vice versa. Here's a scale, 1 to 10. Would you rate yourself? 1, I never share the gospel, and I'm not unburdened at all. Or I'm a 10, it's part of my lifestyle. Daily as I go, I'm looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Now, it may not be that you go through the ABCs every day, but that you are looking with intentionality of who can I share the gospel today? God, who do you have in my path? Because here's the deal. We do know this much. When you pray this kind of prayer, God, would you bring somebody into my path today who needs to hear the gospel? I promise you, God's answer is yes, I will. He will answer that prayer. I promise you. So is it a lifestyle, is a part of who you are? And are we deeply burdened? We'll talk about what that word burden means in a moment. Now, this idea of biblically centered helps us understand about that evangelism is important, right? We read the Great Commission. We read God's call in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, and we can read it in the other Gospels as well. But here's the challenge. Sometimes we get lulled to sleep. We get apathetic. We get at ease. My family knows Christ. We're good to go. We get frustrated. We think the world doesn't care. The world doesn't want to hear what we have to say. We don't really lost people. I mean, we could go on and on about the things and why we don't share the gospel. But I believe this is so important. We're going to spend 2 Sundays on this one. This week, I'm going to give you some of the background of the why. And next week, we're going to talk about the how. All right? We talk about these things of feeling equipped to share. I share with you every single week an easy way for you to share the gospel with any person. It's the ABCs. Right? Admit you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you all your sins. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. Confess Him as your Savior, commit your life to Him as Lord. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Now, what I'm going to share with you next week is something I've shared with you before. It's called the 3 Circles. It's an app we encourage you to download on your phone. We'll use that next week. And I'm going to talk about the 3 Circles. And here's the thing about the 3 Circles. It's a reminder we got this week. Is that sometimes when we share the gospel, we have to be reminded, most people, you can't start at Jesus. Because they don't know there's a beginning. And the 3 Circles talks about the beginning. And gives at least a little bit of background about the beginning to take you then to the gospel and the cross and Christ. So I'm going to share that with you next week. And there's 2 books I'm going to use to kind of help dive off into that called I Love This Book. And I'm praying about doing this on Wednesday nights for 8 weeks and Wednesday night. I love the title of this book. Listen to this book. Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. Isn't that good? I love that. You ever freaked out when you felt like you needed to share Jesus? Now, some of you, you're going to act all big and bold, and that's fine. But I'm going to tell you a time when I prayed, and maybe you've been on one of these before. You got on a faith team or an EE team or a visitation team, right? And it's a cold call. You don't know them. Or maybe like me, I went to my faith training in Shreveport, Louisiana with Broadmoor Baptist Church, and I got stuck with a bunch of lay people. I love you, lay people. But you know what happens? We got like 3 days to learn this long gospel presentation. Too long, by the way, I might add. It's fine if you want to do it, but it's too long. And you got to memorize it and memorize all these scriptures and go. And so we get ready to go, and they say, all right, you got to nominate somebody to be the first one to share. You might want to guess who that was? Me, right. And so I'm excited, and I'm bold, and I'm praying, Lord, please let nobody be home. Yeah, you didn't pray that, preacher. I might have breathed it a time or two. Lord, I don't know this thing very well. I'm like, man, if I just get, I'm going to go punt and go south and go back to the ABCs because I know that one really well. And sure enough, knock on that door. First door. And there's a dad and a teenage boy. Before we know it, we're out by their fishing boat, parked out in the front, talking about Jesus being a fisher of men. See, we freak out sometimes when we have to share Jesus. And here's the kicker. We can share about anything in the world, it seems. Right? We can talk about football. We can talk about hunting. We can talk about politics. We can talk about the most divisive things in history. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, we freak out. Why? I'm not really exactly sure, to be honest with you. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid somebody's going to look at us like we're crazy or cuckoo or why are you bringing that up? But just something as simple as asking your waitress or waiter next time you're with them, just ask them, can I pray with you about something? I have never had one waitress or waiter ever look at me and say, nope, don't believe in God, don't pray for me. Never. Now, they are a little startled, like, do what? You know, a little startled sometimes, but they'll always usually tell you something. Can you pray? And usually, it's immediate. At the Waffle House last Sunday night, right? The girl says, I'm starting college. I'm doing nursing. So you need to pray, I can balance this. I just started this job at Waffle House. She goes to Vision Baptist. It's a simple, simple thing, right? The other book I want to share with you, I'm going to try to share some of the principles from it, called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. Because one of our greatest struggles is trying to take the gospel and turn it, a conversation, and turn it towards the gospel. That's a challenge sometimes. So we're going to talk about those things. I want to give you equipping to know how to do that. Now, let's dive in this passage. Let's look at Jesus, all right? Now, here's the good news. Relax. Some of you have looked at the outline, and you're now beginning to panic, okay? I know. It's okay. Jake and Michael have already taken bets that I will never get through this message. They do that on a weekly basis. They would usually win, right? I'm not going to get through the whole outline today, okay? I don't intend to, and that's okay. We're going to get as far as we get, and when we're done, we're done, all right? Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse number 35. Here's what it says. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness and seeing the multitudes. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast without a shepherd. With downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are too many to count. What does it say there? Few. Therefore, King James word here in my Bible, beseech or ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Now, I give you a little background in Matthew chapter 9 alone. Jesus is going about his ministry. And in this one chapter alone, Jesus heals a woman from a blood disorder. He raises a little girl from the dead. He heals a blind man. He calls Matthew to be one of his disciples. He heals a lame man so he could walk again and drives out a demon out of a guy. Jesus has done all this, and then the Bible says in verse 35, and then he goes into all the cities and villages. There he was in Galilee. We notice that Jesus never grows weary of going, of sharing, of healing. And then we see a description of Jesus that we've not yet seen recorded in Scripture. And really this word we're going to talk about in a moment is only really used of Jesus and in some of the parables that he tells. And it's a word that we see that how Jesus reacts is how we should react. Our call to share the gospel and the motivation behind it. Notice the first thing we notice about Jesus. Jesus was going. Jesus was going. Everywhere he went, he was sharing. What do we see here? The Bible says he went through all the towns and all the villages. Now, they estimate there were some 200 different cities and towns in Galilee alone. Now, how he made it to 200, I don't know. One a day, two a day, I don't know. But the Bible says he went through all the towns and all the villages. Now, maybe that's every one of them, or maybe it was almost all of them, I don't know. But statistics tell us, according to historian Josephus, that in these towns, that the smallest of those towns or villages or cities had 15,000 people in them. Now, if you do the math, if the smallest of those, you want the smallest of numbers, that means in Galilee alone, there were some 3 million people. So when you see the Bible describe crowds of 4 and 5 and 10 and 15,000 people, that's not a big deal. Because there were millions of people just in the region of Galilee alone. And the Bible says here that Jesus was going. There was no place he wasn't willing to go and no person he would not go to either. And it never got old for him. The Bible says he keeps going and going. And sometimes, if we're honest, we get weary of going. We get discouraged when nobody responds, when nobody else seems to respond to the call that stands beside us to go to a mission trip or to go share the gospel. We feel like we might be the only one. But yet God's call is so clear here that we are called to go and to share the love of Christ and to keep going and to keep going and to keep going until there's no breath left in our bodies. We're called to keep going. And by the way, this call is not just for the pastor or for the missionary or for the staff member or for the deacon leader. Guess what? Here's the great news. Anybody can do this. The call is for all of us. Right? This means yes, this means no, this means I'm sleepy and it's cloudy outside, right? Right? That's the call. And notice the call was not Jesus, hey guys, y'all come to me. Do you notice that? The Bible says it goes to all these cities and villages. That's why Petal First Baptist has a mission wall, because we believe God's call is true. That's why it's one of our motives, going over staying. Can I just be honest with you? You know what's a lot easier? Staying. It is. It's a lot easier to stay. It's more comfortable. It's not 105 degrees in the sanctuary in July, but it is 150 degrees at the Backyard Kids Club. Is it not, Shauna Dyer and Jonathan Dyer? It's H-O-T. It's hot. Well, I'll just leave it there. It's hot, right? It's hot. It's hot in Southeast Asia. It's hot in Haiti. But can I give you a reminder, dear friends? Hell is very hot too. Also got convicted. My oldest son came home and they'd been having a conversation in small group. And he said, Dad, is hell really going to be full of fire? Are people really going to burn? And I thought to myself, good night. I failed. My child does not know the reality. So let me just be blunt this morning and very clear. Folks, hell is real. Our world says heaven's the only place it's real. Hell's not real. Someone's got to be reminded, again, I've preached this before, you've got to be reminded of how bad the bad news is before you understand how good the good news is. We've got to go. Now, sometimes we're going to invite them to come, right? No doubt. We're going to do it trunk or treat in a few weeks. We need about 25 more trunks. So you could fulfill this great commission by opening your trunk and by smiling at somebody. Because you see, there are going to be a lot of families that are going to come that we give them a backpack every week and they're going to flood in this building. And here's what you're going to hear some of them say. I get food from you. You're the guy who walks the hallway. And their parents are going to like, what? Gospel conversation. Now, it's got to happen fast, because if not, I get a backup on my car. We have not the candy. But it's a quick gospel conversation. What does it tell them, church, that Petal First Baptist is full of people who really care about them and their kids? See, sometimes sharing the gospel doesn't mean you have to go through the ABCs, the Roman road, or EE, or faith, or whatever thing you've learned before. It can be as simple as sitting out front with a client coming in that needs to get their teeth fixed, and they can't afford to get their teeth fixed, and you sit there and smile at them and have a conversation with them and say, we just want you to know, we're so glad you're here. Anybody can do that, right? Sometimes we make it really complicated when sometimes it's really simple. We're called to go. Jesus was always going. But notice, he tells in one of his parables about a wedding feast, he tells the servants to go and compel them to come. That's strong words. Secondly, not only was Jesus always going, secondly, Jesus was always teaching and preaching and healing. The three parts of Jesus' ministry, really, were teaching, preaching, and healing. It's the same call for us. You could find him teaching in their synagogues where the Word of God was read. And in those moments that the Word of God was being read, which remember was the Old Testament, Jesus in his hometown says, you have now heard the fulfillment of that scripture. In Isaiah where he says, I have anointed you to preach the gospel, that the dead would be raised, that the lame would walk, and that the blind would see. And Jesus says, I'm the guy. He was teaching constantly. And by the way, we're called to be teachers in our homes to our children about the gospel and about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We're called to be teachers here at church. We're called to be teachers everywhere we go based on the Word of God, to teach what the Word of God says. You know what he's doing as disciples? He was teaching them all the time, discipling them. Secondly, he was preaching. Now, some of you go, oh, well, good, thank goodness. I might be able to teach. I might really find the spiritual gift of teaching. Well, guess what? You're still called to teach. Whether it's not in a classroom setting necessarily or in a life group, but all of us are called to teach. And all of us, guess what, are called to preach. Because the word here, preaching, literally means to proclaim. It is the word herald. It was an Old Testament time and even into other modern times, in the late times when we didn't have telephones, they would send a herald who would announce the news around the cities. This is what the king has said. It was a proclamation. It was designed to tell something that was certain and true. Think about what we do. We're called to proclaim that which is certain and true. Eternal life, abundant life, a joy-filled life found in Christ. William Barclay would ask this question in the 1950s when he wrote this commentary, but I would ask this question of us as well. He says, has there ever been a time of more uncertainty? In the 1950s, William Barclay writes this statement. In 2017, could we ask the question, has there ever been a time of more uncertainty? I mean, think about it. When we were growing up, we never heard the word ISIS. The only mass shooting we'd ever heard of happened in the 60s or 70s in the University of Texas in Austin. We didn't have school lockdown drills. I didn't know how to hide under my desk. I didn't know how to be quiet and make sure the door was closed. We didn't know how to do any of that stuff. We live in times and days of uncertainty. And listen to what he says. William Barclay says in 1950, we live in an age of uncertainty, an age when people have ceased to be sure of anything. So we have the message of sureness, of certainty, that if we breathe our last breath today, guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're far better off. Amen? You're in the presence of Jesus. My dad said it so many times. He got that diagnosis. Ticked me off. But it's true. Son, I win either way. If I stay, God gives me more years, I get to enjoy Jesus and my family. But if I go, I win too. See, believers, we win any way, no matter what. Our calling is to share how others can win either way too. He was also healing everywhere he went. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing. Now, some of you are going, now, wait a minute. I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not this person or that. I don't have the gift of healing. Neither do I. I can smack people upside the head. I do have that ability. I can do that. But it won't do anything but probably injure you and make you need to go to the ER if I could even hit you that hard. Right? So what does that mean for us today? Let me ask you this question. Would you agree that it seems more than ever that people need healing in our world? Would you agree? Physically, these people need healing. But more so than ever, emotionally, and mentally, and spiritually. Woundedness like I've never seen. Brokenness that seems to go on and on and on. And we see in the faces of adults and parents and marriages. And we see in the faces of people facing crisis in their lives. And I see when I walk the hallways of a school and I see those little faces and fear. And you long to scoop them up. I talked to a little girl this week, taken from her home. Needed to be. She'd been crying all week long. I got down on my knees. I know this little girl already. I got down on my knees. I said, "Sweetheart, I'm so proud of you." I said, "Just remember something. This ugly old preacher sure does love you." I said, "And Jesus loves you. And you're going to be okay." She's broken. She doesn't understand. What does she need? She needs the healing of Jesus. But how is she going to experience that healing? We have to go. That's why that I pray that over every one of those food bags gets packed. And I know Heidi and her bunch pack. So if you ever want to pack bags, just see Heidi Rose. She'll be glad to put you to work Wednesday nights at 6:30, something like that. Heidi's not here today, but she would put you to work. Carly, she helps. She can get you in contact with her. We pray over every one of those bags. That one day that child is going to wonder, why'd that church give me food? Why'd that church care about me? Somebody's going to come along with that answer and tell them, this is why. See, it's easier, and guess what? It's a whole lot less expensive to stay than go. Remember I told you one of our goals was in our budget is to eventually at some point spend 50% of our budget to go outside of our doors. Last year, if I have my numbers correct, it's somewhere in this ballpark, we're already at 35% is going outside the walls of this church family. 35%. Now, maybe like you, like me, and we'll talk about living faithfully here in a few weeks, sometimes I look at my tithing statement I get once a quarter. You'll get one here this week, I think. And just a fleeting moment, it's not very long, I don't think about it every time, but every once in a while I look at that and going, boy, now I could do something with that money. Sometimes I look at the budget and I think to myself as I walk up on the second floor and I walk behind our choir suite that's unfinished. And I drive my car up here behind the kitchen, Kim does every week, and you drive on what is like the Grand Canyon over here with the valleys and hills over there. And I think, boy, it would be nice to have this finished. And by the way, I'm going to give you a little secret. We got a plan for that for next year, by the way, so just hang tight for that for 2 weeks. But you know what? I'd rather invest over consume. We can get a parking lot eventually. We can all park on the grass for a while, right? We can slosh in the water. Because we got to go. Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing. It comes in a dental clinic. It comes in a backyard kids club. It comes from a mission trip to New Orleans or to the Delta or to our backyard kids club, to Southeast Asia. Our missionary friend that hopefully you'll get to meet in 2018, he's scheduled to come here next year, sent us another picture of a guy. Listen to this, this is crazy. He's in a whole different part of our island that we go to. And I'm not going to allude to it because it's going to be on video, so I want to be careful what I say in Southeast Asia. But he found a guy, and I'm not going to say it loud, but guess where he was from? Our people group. How ironic, how crazy, how God. God is honoring the prayers and the sacrifices of his people who say, I'm willing to go. It's safer to stay, it's cheaper to stay, it's more comfortable to stay. But when we're living desperately, guess what? We want to go because when we go and get out there on the edge, guess what happens? God's Spirit blows, God's Spirit I believe one of the reasons God has blessed Bethel First Baptist Church, and there's probably many, but I think one of the reasons he's blessed us is because before we were staying, we were not going. But I believe God blesses a church that goes. Notice this last one. And we'll end here. Jesus saw the crowd and the individual. I don't know about you, I've read this passage of Scripture before, and I just went, whoop, blew right on by it. Didn't even see it, because, I mean, Jesus saw them. Big deal. But I want to stop and just kind of land here for just a moment. Jesus sees the crowd. That means when he sees the crowd, he stops and he takes time to recognize there was a need, to recognize them as people, as his creations, to see that they were hurting and broken. You see, no one ever escaped the eye or the heart of Jesus. Now, I want you for just a moment, would you think back over your week this week? I know some of you think, I can't remember what I did yesterday, much less today. But can you think over your week this week? Who did you see this week? Your family, your coworkers, your boss, your employees, your classmates at school. But I'm not asking who you saw with your physical eyes. I'm asking who you saw with your spiritual eyes. And how did you see them? See, sometimes our biggest problem is we just don't see the people. Or if we do see them, we judge them. We make assumptions about them. We think things about them. Why don't they? They should. We blow them off. I blew somebody off last week, last Tuesday to be exact. This girl had come in twice, wanted gas. She's just here to take advantage, use, and abuse. Your preacher said a dumb, stupid statement. I'm not telling you because I'm proud of him. I'm telling you because I'm still learning with you. I have not arrived. I'm not that kind of preacher, unfortunately. You had to find a different one. I'm not there yet. I said, just give her the gas so she'll go away. Now, isn't that sorry? Aren't you glad I'm your preacher? I'm glad it's Pastor Appreciation Month. I'm telling you. What a pastorly thing to say. I mean, I said that out of my mouth. The next day I drove in the parking lot. Saw our sign. And God said, you missed it, Brad. You missed it. Now here's the reality. Is she going to change her life the next day because I gave her gas and I talked to her? Probably not. But is that my call? Is that my opportunity to say, well, that's what I think? I'm only a messenger to those that I think are going to hear me. Or am I supposed to see her the way that Jesus sees her? How do you see people in your neighborhood, in your community? How do you see people at Walmart? Now, let's subtract the summertime when, you know, people, you wonder, you know, did you look in the mirror before you came into Walmart? And we've all been there. We've all gone to Walmart looking like that, right? Some of us worse than others or better than others. I don't mean do you see them physically. I mean do you see them, how do you see that friend or that person in your grade that's a geek? How do you see that friend at school that nobody wants to talk to? How do you see that coworker that is one to be avoided at all costs? Do we see them? It's a guy written a book, I can't think of his name. Andy something wrote a book called The Noticer. It's a great book. Do we notice people? Do we see them? Could one of our prayers be as believers, before we ever talk about sharing the gospel, maybe your prayer this week is this. God, will you help me to see people the way you see them? Whether a child or a student or an adult or a senior adult. Would you just pray, God, open my eyes that I could see the harvest this week. I'm just going to challenge you. Would you take that challenge this week? And I want to do something unorthodox and make some of you think I'm not coming back to church next Sunday. I want to ask some of you next week, or email me or text me, and I know you'll do this by the thousands. I saw the world this week for the first time in a long time. I want you to tell me, what do you see? What do you notice when you ask God to open your eyes? You see, if we're a mature follower of Jesus Christ, we're really seeking to become more like Him. You're going to be one who lives authentically, one who lives biblically, who's growing to love God's word, one who's living connectedly, one who's living desperately, one who is living evangelistically, and one who's living faithfully. Again, these things are not put out there to go, oh my gosh, I'll never live up to those. None of us will, unless we live desperately. Oh God, I can't do these things without you. And God says, well, good. I'm glad you finally realized it. Now, let me blow my spirit through you. So would you be encouraged today? Jesus was going, and our reading in 1 Peter chapter 3 says, He caused you to be saved. Jesus came to where you were. Somebody came and shared with you. Somebody saw you. Somebody was preaching and teaching and healing. As we close our time of invitation this morning in just a moment, some of you in this room this morning, you've never trusted Christ, your Savior and Lord. We're talking about sharing the gospel, but you can't share what you don't know. And I want to encourage you this morning, mom or dad, boy or girl, teenager, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the greatest news of all times, greater than Dale Earnhardt winning the Talladega 500 today, greater than the Saints going undefeated and winning the Super Bowl, greater than Southern Miss going to the national championship game, greater than Ole Miss winning 3 games this year, or State, right? Greater than all those things, you could walk out of here a transformed person. You do that by admitting to God you're a sinner, praying and saying, God, would you forgive me? Ask Him to forgive you all of your sins. Believe that He is God's Son who came and died and rose again for you. And be willing to commit your life to Him as Lord and confess Him as your Savior. For others of you in this room, you need to know something. You don't think, or maybe you have a friend who thinks this way, maybe it's not you, that nobody sees you. Nobody sees you. Nobody cares about you. Can I share a good word for you? Maybe you can share it with somebody else. Jesus sees you today. And He is crazy about you. Maybe some of you need the healing touch of Jesus. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Hey, here's the great news. That's the mission Jesus is on, and so is this church. And we'd love to pray with you and encourage you along those same lines. Here's a quote I'm going to close with. And I will close with it next week. And it's a great word. It's on your outline, by the way. C.T. Studd said this statement. I pray that when I die, that all of hell rejoices that I'm out of the fight. I decided, Rebecca, that's what I want on my tombstone. Just to tick the devil off one more time. Can it be written over Petal First Baptist? And when the day comes, this church, I pray it never ceases to exist. When Jesus Christ returns, He finds us faithful. And He would wish that Petal First Baptist would stop going and just start staying more. But maybe you'll make a commitment today to start going more and sharing the good news of Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, it's really still in here, and I pray it's not just because it's October and people are tired, because it comes to that time, this time of year, and people are tired and weary from the first 2 months of school. And I pray this morning that you would be speaking the hearts and lives of people. And I pray, Lord, it's words of encouragement. It's not words of condemnation or guilt or you're a sorry person, but Lord, just instead talking about you and who you are and what you've done and how your desire is for you to be just like us, and that you want to do the same thing in us as we would do for others. God, would you move in this moment? Lord, would you allow people to hear the call of the gospel this morning? Oh God, I pray there would not be a man or woman, boy or girl, that would not walk out of this door without doing and making peace with you, inviting you in their heart and life to be your Savior, their Savior and their Lord. Others may have made that decision, Lord. They've never been baptized, never been public about their faith. They've been embarrassed. I pray you give them the courage to come. I pray for some of them maybe to join this church family and say, you know what, I've heard God's call loud and clear. This is where I need to be. I want to be a part of a church that's going overstay. For others, well, they're sitting in this room full of 250 people, and they feel all alone, and that nobody sees them. God, may they know that the God of the universe is sitting right next to them, and you love them, and you died for them, and you care for them more than they could possibly ever imagine. For those that are broken, which, by the way, Lord, is all of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but some of us are more broken than others today, that they would hear the call of Jesus to come find healing. And finally, for others, Lord, that you would let us see people this week the way you see them. Maybe we just come to this altar this morning and say, Lord God, please, I want to see people the way you see them. I want to see people the way Jesus saw them, so I could believe that next step we'll talk about next week. Having a heart of compassion. God, move in this moment, I pray. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.